Let us illustrate this point by going through an example. Here we have Malcolm, who bought 10,000 shares in White Limited. Malcolm paid £20,000 for the shares in May 1989. White Limited was taken over by Black PLC on the 1st of July 2010. In return for his old White Limited shares, Malcolm received a mixture of new shares and cash. Here we see that Malcolm swaps his original 10,000 White Limited shares for 2 black ordinary shares, plus 1 black preference share, plus £1.50 in cash for every White Limited share he held. The market value of the Black PLC ordinary shares and the Black PLC preference shares are as shown on your screen. We need to consider Malcolm's capital gains tax position on the takeover. Whenever you are faced with a takeover situation, it is always worth drawing a diagram so you can see exactly what the shareholder had before and after the takeover. Malcolm started with 10,000 White Limited shares. We know that these cost £20,000 in May 1989. For every 1 White Limited share, Malcolm received 2 black ordinary shares. Malcolm now has 20,000 ordinary shares in Black PLC. For every 1 old share, Malcolm also receives 1 new black preference share. Malcolm now has 10,000 preference shares in Black PLC. We are also told that for every 1 White Limited share, Malcolm receives £1.50 in cash. The total cash paid to Malcolm on the takeover is therefore £15,000. We're told that the market value of the ordinary shares at the date of takeover was £5.50 per share. Malcolm's 20,000 black ordinary shares are therefore worth £110,000. The preference shares were valued at £7.50 at the date of takeover. Malcolm's 10,000 preference shares therefore have a total value of £75,000. The cash obviously has a value of £15,000. If we add these together, we will see that the total consideration paid by Black PLC to Malcolm comes out to be £200,000. Essentially, Malcolm has sold his White Limited shares for £200,000, which is made up of a mixture of assets, as you can see on your screen. In this situation, there have been 2 share-for-share exchanges. This means that the receipt of the ordinary shares and the preference shares will not give rise to a disposal for CGT purposes. However, because part of the consideration has been paid in cash, Malcolm will have an immediate gain on the cash element, and to calculate the gain, we use the part disposal rules. Malcolm's cash proceeds in July 2010 are £15,000. From this, we deduct the allowable base cost. The cash received is £15,000 out of a total consideration of £200,000. This is our A over A plus B formula. When multiplied by Malcolm's original acquisition cost of £20,000, the allowable cost to be set against the cash proceeds is £1,500. Malcolm's gain is therefore £13,500. Let us reflect on what Malcolm now owns after the takeover. Malcolm has 20,000 black ordinary shares, 10,000 black preference shares, and £15,000 in cash. Malcolm originally spent £20,000 in acquiring White Limited shares in May 1989. This is his total base cost. We have already allocated £1,500 of this base cost to the cash element. We did this by taking the original base cost and multiplying by A over A plus B. The A in the fraction was £15,000, being the cash received, whilst the A plus B is the total consideration, being £200,000. This gave us the allowable base cost to allocate against the cash. To arrive at the base cost of the ordinary shares and the preference shares, we do exactly the same exercise. The base cost of the 20,000 ordinary shares is therefore the original base cost of £20,000 multiplied by 110 over 200. The ordinary shares were worth £110,000 out of a total consideration of £200,000. Therefore, the base cost of the black ordinary shares is £11,000. Malcolm is deemed to have acquired these shares in May 1989 for CGT purposes. Similarly, the base cost of the preference shares is the original cost of £20,000 multiplied by the value of the preference shares, that is £75,000, over total consideration. The preference shares are therefore deemed to have cost £7,500, again in May 1989. We have therefore identified the base cost of the ordinary shares and the preference shares, and this will help us calculate the gain when these assets are eventually sold. Let us now assume that Malcolm sells the black ordinary shares for £125,000 on the 31st of March 2011. Proceeds of sale are £125,000, from which we deduct the base cost of the ordinary shares. From the previous page, we calculated that the ordinary shares cost £11,000 in May 1989. Malcolm's gain on the sale of the black ordinary shares is therefore £114,000. Finally, in this section, we'll consider the interaction between the share-for-share exchange rules and entrepreneur's relief. Where shares in one company are exchanged for shares in another on takeover, the share-for-share rules apply automatically. There is no disposal for CGT purposes, and therefore there is no gain at the time of the takeover. The new shares inherit the base cost of the old shares. However, since the introduction of entrepreneur's relief from the 6th of April 2008, it is possible for a taxpayer to make an election to disapply the share-for-share rules on a takeover. This is to enable taxpayers to make full use of entrepreneur's relief in the tax year of the takeover if they wish. The election must be made by the anniversary of the 31st of January following the year of disposal, i.e. by the 31st of January 2013 for disposals in 2010-11. Such an election will have the following effects. First, a gain will arise on the takeover, calculated as if the value of the new shares received was cash. This gain can then qualify for entrepreneur's relief, assuming the relevant conditions are satisfied. Secondly, the new shares have a base cost equal to their market value at the date of the takeover. This will reduce the gain when the new shares are eventually sold. Let's illustrate this with an example. Dan, a higher rate taxpayer, had been a director of iTrack Limited, a computer software company, for many years, owning 10,000 of the ordinary shares. This represents a 10% holding. He had acquired the shares from a share option scheme in March 2003, and their CGT base cost was £10,000. In September 2010, the issued shares of iTrack Limited were acquired by Megatron PLC. Each shareholder received £10 in cash and 20 new shares in Megatron PLC in return for their iTrack Limited shares. The Megatron PLC shares were quoted at £2 each in September 2010. Dan will therefore receive £100,000 in cash and 200,000 new Megatron PLC shares worth £400,000. The cash, therefore, makes up 20% of total consideration, and the new shares make up 80%. There are 10 million Megatron PLC shares in issue, so Dan now has 2% of the new company. Following the normal share-for-share rules, Dan will have a gain on the cash element of his consideration, but no gain on the shares element. The proceeds chargeable to tax is therefore the cash of £100,000. As the cash makes up 20% of the consideration on the takeover, we take 20% of the original base cost of £10,000, being £2,000. The gain on the receipt of the cash is therefore £98,000. The gain arising will be eligible for entrepreneur's relief because iTrack Limited is a trading company and Dan works for the company and he has at least 5% of the voting rights. After deduction of the annual exemption, the taxable gain of £87,900 is taxed at 10%, as a claim for entrepreneur's relief will be made. This gives CGT of £8,790. Dan now has 200,000 new Megatron PLC shares. The CGT base cost of new shares is 80% of the original base cost of the old iTrack Limited shares, being £8,000. Any future gain on the disposal of the Megatron PLC shares
will not qualify for entrepreneurs' relief and therefore would be taxable at 28%. Now, assume instead that Dan makes an election to disapply the share-for-share exchange rules when iTrack Limited is taken over in September 2010. A gain will now arise on the receipt of shares on the takeover, calculated as if the value of the new shares received was cash. Chargeable proceeds will now be the cash of £100,000 plus the value of the new shares being £400,000. The base cost of the iTrack Limited shares is £10,000, giving a capital gain on the takeover of £490,000. The total gain will be eligible for entrepreneurs' relief. After deduction of the annual exemption, CGT is charged at 10% to give a total tax liability of £47,990. Even though the gain is much larger than before, the election has the advantage that the CGT base cost of new Megatron PLC shares is now the market value at the date of the takeover, in this case, £400,000. This significantly reduces the gain on the eventual sale of the Megatron shares. This will be particularly beneficial as Dan will not be eligible for entrepreneurs' relief when he sells the Megatron shares, as he does not have a 5% holding. There is just one practice question to attempt to conclude this session. Dorothy, who has always been self-employed, bought 2,000 Oz Limited shares in May 1981. The shares were worth £6,000 in March 1982. She bought another 3,000 shares in 2006. She now has 5,000 shares with a base cost of £18,000. Oz Limited is taken over by Emerald PLC. Dorothy receives £5 in cash for every Oz share, giving her £25,000. Dorothy also receives 5 Emerald PLC shares for every 1 Oz share. She'll therefore be given 25,000 shares in Emerald PLC. The Emerald shares were worth £2 each at the date of takeover. The Emerald shares therefore have a market value of £50,000. The total consideration paid by Emerald PLC to Dorothy is therefore £75,000. Dorothy will have no gain on the receipt of the new shares because this is a paper-for-paper exchange. Dorothy will have a gain on the cash element. We will calculate this gain by using the part disposal rules. Cash proceeds are £25,000. The CGT base cost is the pool cost of £18,000 multiplied by the value of the cash divided by total consideration. The base cost is therefore £6,000, giving Dorothy a gain of £19,000. That concludes this session on takeovers.